Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium.
There's a guy that's a deep right field. That ball is going. Going, it is gone. Deep right field. Holy cow, I don't believe it.
That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
Yo, what up, Yankee fans? Welcome to the Bullpen Betty Show. Join us as we lament the past week in Yankee baseball. There are only 6 games left to the season, and things are looking bleak. The Bombers' playoff hopes may not be the only thing that dies this week. Betty's getting desperate, and desperate times call for desperate measures. So stick around while she's still Betty, and I'm still Gigo, and check out episode 10 of the Bullpen Betty Show.
Everybody, welcome to the Bullpen Betty Show, episode 10. I'm Bullpen Betty. I am morbidly depressed, and I have Gigo with me. And thank God for Gigo, or I might not. We might not even be doing episode 10, right?
Right, because tell them where we are.
Well, we're on the Brooklyn Bridge.
And I'm not even going to tell them why we're on the
Brooklyn. We'll just say.
Thank God I got here when I did.
You know, whatever. It's windy and it's freezing. I don't even care.
Wow.
I came right straight here from the Bronx. You know, the George Washington Bridge was closer, but nobody jumps off the George Washington.
The only people jumping off the George Washington Bridge that I saw were New York Giants fans. 38 to nothing. Jeez, that was horrible.
How dare you bring football into my baseball show? And what happened with the Jets? I know you love them.
Oh, to make the matter even worse, they won.
I could care less about football. Isn't that crazy?
If I wasn't so busy pulling you off the bridge, I'd be jumping off.
See, I saved your life. You had to come all the way down from Inwood to get me. You would be right by the George Washington Bridge otherwise.
Exactly.
Oh. So, what should I tell people? Oh my God.
All right. Well, you were at the stadium today.
All right.
Good stuff.
Yes. I'm going to be positive about the good stuff that happened today.
Before we get to today, okay. Let's cover this week real quick.
Yeah. Can we cover it as fast as we ever have covered a week?
We had 3 games against Toronto, the last place Toronto Blue Jays. How did we do?
We sucked. We won 1 of those 3. And somebody named Huff was the winning pitcher for the 1 game we won. 4-3, which is not exactly a blowout.
It's actually a combination. It's like Hughes / Huff.
Right.
Hughes and Huff have been okay.
Together they have been mediocre.
Right. They won. Pettit pitched a good game.
But he lost. He is the losing pitcher, 0-2.
Because?
I don't even remember.
Bullpen.
Right. So our bullpen stinks.
It does now. Our bullpen, which carried us for a good part of the season, was our best part of the season. They're, you know, unfortunately, we had to use them so much because the starters were so horrible. Because Hughes has been horrible for so long. Because CC has been horrible for so long.
Pettit was sort of streaky.
Streaky that we had to bring, you know, Nova was horrible. We had to pitch these guys so much, the bullpen, that they're just worn out.
Yeah. You know, Robertson is not doing great. And then Kuroda also lost.
Yeah.
And he was great and now not great.
Those 3 games in Toronto were crucial, and they are the reason we are in dire situation.
And part of the reason why we're also on the Brooklyn Bridge right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we got and we were in Toronto, right? Or were we home? I don't even... Yeah, it's the worst... It's like, what stadium is worse, Toronto or Tampa? It's a toss-up.
I'd have to say Toronto because it's in Canada. At least the weather's nice.
No, it's disgusting. Florida's disgusting.
Disgusting.
No. I'd rather Canada be a state than Florida. The great state of Canada. Then, thank God, we get the hell out of there, we come back to New York, and we're playing the worst team, you know, in the National League, or not the worst, one of the worst, the San Francisco Giants. This will be a breeze, right?
Another last place team. So this is, we had 6 games against
the and the San Francisco Giants won the World Series last year, let's remind the world.
Right.
So, we did great the first 2 games.
Right, first game,
CC was pitching, and A-Rod...
CC actually pitched
like CC.
He was like the CC of old. He pitched what, 8 innings. He, you know, gave up a lot of hits and stuff, but he made the big pitch when he needed to. he, you know, what was it, 1-1 when A-Rod did what he did?
It was. It was tied, and then A-Rod hit the Grand Slam.
Very historic.
So now
Grand
he's
Slam.
The 24 has hit the most Grand Slams of anybody ever.
He broke a tie he had with Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig.
Broke a record that had been set 70 years ago.
Well, you know.
It's beautiful because, you know, yet another thing that Bud Selig is hating. Losing sleep.
But, I mean, but it's kind of horrendous that it's A-Rod beating Lou Gehrig's record. No?
Hey, he's a Yankee. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's true. We're not talking about a Yankee record. We're talking about a baseball
and
record.
And you may hate A-Rod or anything, but he's played good. He's been good since he's come back. He's one of the reasons they are even have a chance of doing this. I mean, Soriano is a big, big reason.
Yeah.
You know, a few other things. But so A-Rod is one of those reasons, right? He hasn't... He hasn't been a drag on us. He's actually been a positive.
He's not been an albatross.
Right, right.
So that game, and then the next game was a day game on Saturday, and Nova pitched the whole game, and we won 0-6.
It's his third complete game, I think, and his second complete game shutout.
Yeah, I'm loving him.
Although he was great in August, he was really horrible for most of September, but you know now he's turned it around. Maybe a little too late, but it's good. He pitched great. And that brings us today, big, big day, Mariano Rivera Day, and you were there.
Bullpen Betty was at Mariano Rivera Day. So,
I'm jealous, by the way. I wish I was there.
Really?
I mean, I've got to really big games. I wish I was at that place.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a historical day.
Yeah.
And I have to give a little credit to somebody. He's been trying to get on the show. So, I would like to say that he's that cunning, that this is how he figured out he was going to, like, get mentioned on the show, but he's not that cunning. So, Drew Stone, who has his own Facebook page and is a huge Yankee fan his whole life.
He's singer for Antidote.
He is, and he's a filmmaker, and found out that Metallica was playing at the Apollo.
Because.
This is like a month or so ago, because he is doing a documentary about the guy, whose name is Michael Ilago, who signed Metallica to Elektra Records.
Cool.
So
it's about time he makes a documentary that I want to watch.
Right, you mean instead of a documentary about the Boston scene?
Exactly.
Which was his other documentary that he did like a year ago, year and a half ago?
Because really, who cares about Boston?
Right, yeah. Well, the poor guy. He went to college there, so what else was he going to do? So, yeah, so he knew that Metallica was playing the Apollo last night because through, you know, Michael Ilago, and then the rumor was that then Metallica would play at Mo Day since it was the next day. So he was the one who tipped me off to Mo Day and Metallica and the whole thing of what it was, so we decided to go. And lucky him, he also went to see Metallica last night, and he had 15th row center seats because he's with the guy who signed Metallica to Elektra. So I went to Mo Day with Drew Stone today, and his name will never.
Congratulations, Drew! You made the show.
His name will never be spoken again on Bullpen Betty. You'll really have to outdo yourself next time, Drew.
Right? If you had been at the Apollo last night, it would have been a different story.
So
the ceremony, how was it?
Yeah, so it was great. I first got, you know, we got, the seats were so expensive. They were all, I went on Yankees.com, they were $250 or more. So I went on StubHub, I bought the cheapest tickets, which were like the worst seats in the house. But the joke is, they were kind of right overlooking center field, so it was overlooking Monument Park, which is where the first half of the Mo Day celebration ceremony was.
Oh, cool.
So they had him out there, the Steinbrenner family, his family, and they unveiled the bas-relief bronze plaque of the number 42, which is his number.
Right, he's, I guess, the first guy to have his number retired while he's still wearing it.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And he still has six games to go, right?
Right, exactly. And it's Jackie Robinson's number, as everybody should know.
Right.
And it's the first bronzed number that wasn't a Yankee.
Oh, they did a bronze thing for Jackie Robinson and one for Mo?
Yeah, I mean, so Jackie Robinson's family was there, and it was, you know, it was originally retired as Jackie Robinson's number, right?
Right, right.
So it's, that's whose number is retired.
Major League.
Right. So it's a Brooklyn Dodger has his own bronze bas-relief. I love using that. I sound so smart. In Monument Park.
Unfortunately, our listeners have no idea.
Look it up, everybody. It's sort of like art history or whatever. And then they also then sort of moved over, and then they did the Mariano number in Monument Park with, like, the pinstripes through, you know, the white circle. So they did both of those things out in Monument Park. And so I was sort of overlooking it from 10,000 feet.
I guess if you can't watch the game, you might as well be able to watch the ceremony.
Right. So, like, you know, the Sherpas didn't even go up as high as we were sitting. The wind was blowing, you know, it was pretty brutal. I've never had such bad seats in that stadium. So, then...
Bob Uecker was laughing at you.
Who was laughing at me?
Bob Uecker was
Bob Uecker. So then, Metallica, also hilarious that my bad seats were so good. The stage was set up right in front of Monument Park, right dead center field. So
right,
if I
they don't want to build it in the middle of the field, because then they'd have to drag it over.
Right, so they could just roll it back out. Right. So it was funny, if I had like, you know, good seats by home plate, I would have been a million miles away from Metallica. So I actually took a video, and I put it. I haven't put it on Bullpen Betty yet. I put it on a different Facebook page. And they played the song. The sound was kind of weird. They didn't. I mean, it wasn't like set up for a concert. They were just doing one song, but you know, they played the song. I mean, how great! Then when they were done, he, like, walked across the whole entire field and went onto the diamond where they had chairs and everything set up. And then they started reading, you know, different, like, it was Mariano Rivera Day, Serrano, you know, the congressman who is the congressman for the Bronx, most of the Bronx.
Serrano.
Right, Jose. My friend used to work for Jose. She was his, like, chief of staff until recently. Angela Fernandez. So he did a thing, and then, you know, proclamation from the mayor, who is still Michael Bloomberg, in case anybody got confused at, you know, the whole election.
Right. Today, September 22nd, is Mariano Rivera Day.
Right. In the city of New York. And
city of New York.
Do you think Bloomberg has enough money just to proclaim it worldwide?
the Yankees gave, what, $100,000?
Yep.
$100,000 check to Rivera's foundation.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, 100. Yes, exactly. So that was great. And then they gave him some other gifts. Another rocking chair was brought out.
It can't be as cool as the one that they gave him in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't. I did. I was, you know, at that point it was 10 miles away. I couldn't really see it.
The one in Minnesota was made out of broken bats.
This one might have been. I don't know.
Then they stole the idea? How cheesy is that? You're stealing your idea from Minnesota.
Is Minnesota's in the United States? It's a state, right?
I thought it was a province of Canada.
That's Saskatchewan. Sorry, Minnesota. We're just being wise asses. At least I am. The glass mitts. There was a lot of stuff.
Glass, Waterford crystal.
So it was the good glass.
The glass, right.
So, what else? And then, I think that was all the gifts. It was hard to see all of the gifts going on down on the field when I was sitting up on Mount Kilimanjaro. And then they started to bring people out onto the diamond.
Like they do with every ceremony at the Yankee Stadium. But there was a twist with this time. Usually they bring out every great Yankee.
Old timers.
Be like, you know, Reggie Jackson, Yogi Berra. And all those guys were in the stadium today, but they didn't bring them on the field. The only people that were on the field were people who actually played with Rivera, which I thought was kind of cool.
Right, so...
actual teammates.
O'Neill, Cone, and Hip Jorge.
Hip Jorge. Tino Martinez.
Yep. You know, and I was surprised that Jorge Posada was there, because he's been busy doing liquor commercials.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's like in Johnny Walker Black commercials now. I know you don't have cable because you're too intellectual, but... but he's
I don't
doing,
need cable to watch Channel 13.
But he's doing alcohol commercials now. You know, I guess you got to make money in the off-season. In the off-season, which is the rest of your life. And then Metallica brought out, like, a Marshall cabinet, you know, Marshall stack, a music thing, for those of you who don't know, that had, like, a number 42 on it, and they all came out, and they hugged him, and it was great.
Too bad Bernie Williams is going to steal it.
Oh, Bernie Williams came out, too!
Bernie was there.
Bernie Williams, a great Yankee and a great musician.
Right, he'll probably take the Marshall stack home.
Right, I mean, what the hell is Mariano Rivera going to do with the Marshall stack? So, you know, his family came out, and, you know, Jackie Robinson's family came out, and Cano and Jeter, you know, escorted these family members onto the field.
Cano, actually, he was named after Jackie Robinson.
Right, Robinson Cano, Jackie Robinson Cano.
Yeah, his father named him after Jackie Robinson.
Right. So. And his number is 24, which is the opposite of 42.
Look at that.
Am I a genius?
you just play one on internet.
Or am I just average and everybody else is just not that smart? That's the So then, well, the funny thing is they, like, cleared everything off the field and the rocking chair was still sitting in the middle and we're like, are they going to move the rocking chair? It was funny.
They should have let him pitch from it.
Yeah, I know, right? They did eventually. And so, yeah, it was really great. I've never seen the stadium so crowded, and I've never heard it that loud.
Yeah, obviously, it was sold out.
Yeah, based on how much I paid for a $22 ticket. Yeah, it was sold out.
And then game time. And that was another big thing, because did we mention that Andy Pettit retired, right? So
yeah, so today was Mariano Rivera Day, and I was there, and it was also Pettit's last start in Yankee Stadium.
Apparently he had decided way early in the season that he was retiring. He told Girardi about halfway through the season, and he told a few other people, but he hadn't told anybody else until he told Mariano, apparently like a couple weeks ago maybe. And Mariano mm-hmm. the one who told him to announce it. You know, Pettit didn't want to do it. He didn't want to take away from the fact that Mariano, well, you know, his whole goodbye thing. Mariano right. was like, no, it'll be even better. Because we came in together, we'll go out together. Mariano encouraged him, make your announcement. Let the fans know, you know, they deserve
right.
it.
Right. So today was also Andy Pettit's last game in Yankee Stadium, his last start in Yankee Stadium.
Which is kind of appropriate. The combination of Pettit and Rivera, that's the biggest combination of pitcher and save. You know, someone who's close, like...
Oh, they've had the most combo...
Mariano has saved 73 of Andy Pettit's games.
Wow.
Second place was like Eckersley and I think Dave Stewart with Oakland. And they were like 57.
Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics?
Yeah, they were 57. Third place was Mariano and...
Jorge?
Mike Messina.
Oh, Jorge was the catcher. Oh, Mike Messina and...
Right,
and Mo.
And then fourth place was Eckersley again. But yeah, so it's kind of appropriate that their last game at home is together, which is kind of cool.
But the good news is that I managed to not watch most of the game from the hinterlands. I walked down to where section 122 is, which is about home plate on the third base side.
Third base side, right.
And stood...
That's the cool thing I like about the stadium.
Yeah.
If you don't have to pay for the good seats to get a good view, you can actually... If you don't mind standing...
Right.
You can stand right behind the rich people.
Right. We stood... But you have to stand behind the white line. There's a right. white line on the floor, and it's like... And if you step over it, like the... You know... Actually, they were cool about it today. They weren't too bad. So, watching the game for, like, six innings from there was really great. I mean, you really got to see. Yeah. It was much warmer... Yes, I thawed out, the icicles melted, and they only had to amputate three of my toes on my right foot. So, you know, that was, it was great. That was, I'm very happy that I went, and I can tell somebody else's grandchildren that I was there.
Then the game started, and Pettit's pitching, and there was a pitcher's duel for a while there.
Yeah, both pitchers were great.
It was like, I think they were both pitching perfect games. It's like the
Pettit and Petit!
That's kind of cool too.
It's crazy. A lot of craziness going on.
They both had no hitters going through the fifth inning until
jung jung jung. Somebody got a hit.
A home run.
Right. So
what's his name again?
You mean
McReynolds? Until McReynolds came up. And
no, McReynolds is not Reynolds. Mark Reynolds.
Oh, McReynolds.
You think it would? McReynolds played for the Mets in the 80s. Wow.
Wow.
See, I know something about old baseball. He was like a big, like, murr. He was like, I think he was sort of like Herman Munster, if I remember. Anyway, so yes, Mark Reynolds hit a home run in the third.
Which held up for a couple
right?
of games.
Right, yes. And it was a 427-foot shot, which is not bad. I mean, that's about what I usually hit. So then, yeah, nobody scored, nobody scored, nobody scored, right? Until... the top of the sixth off of
I think his name is Almanza.
Adrianza.
Adrian hit a home run. Actually, it's his first major league home run.
Oh, great! Super glad for him. Thanks.
Kind of big for him. You think Mariano Day off Pettit, Yankee Stadium. That's something he'll be telling his grandkids.
Right. Yeah. Super. Okay, so we've got a 1-1 game going and going and going, right? For a while.
For a while.
And we're thinking, we need to score some runs here. So the bottom of the seventh comes along.
We had chances. We had chances to win this game.
So, you know, Nunez is playing third, so he's batting. And, bottom of the seventh, he comes up, he's the first guy, he singles to center. You know, I'm okay with Nunez, like, as an offensive player.
He actually played a decent third base today.
He did. So then your boy Reynolds strikes out, and Brendan Ryan, I don't know, this guy who's a Yankee now.
you know what? I'm pretty sure he'll be a Yankee next year.
Oh, well, you know, I hope so.
That's because he's a fantastic fielder. He really is.
Well, he was a shortstop today, and he did a good job.
He had amazing plays yesterday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think they'll keep him as the backup infielder, I would guess.
Okay. We're thinking that Jeter's going to be playing again?
Jeter's coming back.
Okay. Whatever you say. So Ryan singles to right center. Nunez goes to second.
Ryan had two hits today, by the way.
Oh, well, see? He's getting into his groove right when there's six games left. Super. So then, okay, we've got somebody on first and second. This is going great. Only got one out. And I see Overbay coming to pinch hit for Chris Stewart. And then San Francisco flips the switch on us and takes Petit out.
Right. This is the whole chess game, right?
Right, so they put in Lopez.
Girardi first move, pinch hit, Overbay for Chris Stewart. Chris Bosch's second move, take out Petit.
Yes, and put in Lopez.
A nasty left-hander.
Okay.
I mean, the guy is—he's one of—he's
like Janet Jackson, nasty.
Right. He's exactly. He's what you truly call a lefty specialist. Because he's a side armor.
Oh, that's like, crazy.
He's one of those guys where you're like you're kind of flinching as he's throwing at you.
Right. So Girardi's like, okay, you know, ixnay on how would you even say
verbeo
in Pig Latin? How would you say verbeo in Pig Latin? That's impossible.
Say verbeo away.
So then I see. So I didn't really know what was going on. It was like, because, you know, I'm just standing there and standing in the section 122. And then I'm like, wait a second, that's not Overbay, because Overbay is very white and that arm is not. And I realize it's Vernon Wells.
Which is the right move again. It's the right move to play, I think.
So there's a passed ball while Wells is at the plate. So Nunez goes to third, and Ryan goes to second.
So that changes the whole at-bat.
Holy now, crap.
Instead of
one out
needing a hit, all he needs is an out. All he needs is to hit.
Yes.
Ground ball, tie game. Fly ball the outfield, tie game.
And what does he do? He strikes out.
Pathetically, like three pitches.
Yeah. So then, you know, Ichiro comes up, and he's really not been doing much lately. At all.
He's 38 years old now, too, I think.
I guess. They're all 38. So he strikes out swinging, too, and we strand two guys in scoring position.
Second and third with one out, we couldn't get anybody on.
Super.
So they bring in, I don't know why, they left Pettit in.
Right.
But he was pitching good, I guess.
Top of the eighth. And Sandoval doubles.
Right.
And Joe jumps up and takes him right out and puts in Robertson.
He got a nice hand when he came out, though, didn't he?
Right. The crowd went wild, and then he came back and did, like, a curtain call, and the crowd went wild again, and I have a picture of his back. You can see on BullpenBetty, Facebook.com/BullpenBetty.
I think that's one of the reasons they left him in, because even if he'd gotten out, I think they would have taken him out there, just to let him get the hand from the fans.
Yeah, it was
so
super.
I think that was a plan. Whether he gave out up a hit or not, he was coming out after a batter just to get the ovation.
Right. Well, and at some point you know that Mo has to be brought in on this game.
Right. Well, unfortunately, they didn't bring him in right away.
No. Instead, they brought in Robertson.
Next year's closer.
Next year's, the new Mariano Rivera. So, you know, Sanchez comes up, he grounds out to first, and Noonan goes to third. So now we got a guy on third, right? And then the next batter doubles to deep right, and Noonan scores, and now the Giants are winning. And Joe rips Robertson right out and puts in Mo, comes out to Enter Sandman. We do it all over again. And Mo was en fuego. Oi.
He struck out the first guy.
Looking.
Right. Nasty fish. And
then he got the next guy to fly out. So we're out of the inning.
Just a fly out. On a nice catch by your boy.
Granderson, who is doing great defensively, and he's sucking offensively.
But that was a nice catch, diving, you know.
He's so good at that. He does.
He ate the field.
He's been eating the field a lot this month. So then we're up. This is another, you know, big chance. Yeah. So A-Rod singles.
Broken bat single. Nice.
They bring in Almonte, who hasn't been on the field for how long?
But you had to take out A-Rod because you run faster A-Rod with your heels on. So it was a good move. You bring in the 20-year-old legs because, you know, you got to score.
I have 20-year-old legs. So, yeah, Almonte comes in, and great, because you know what happens? Cano doubles.
Nice.
So Cano's on second. Almonte's on third.
I thought they were going to send Almonte on that one. Send him home.
Yeah, but I'm glad that it was. I would, but then it was no.
Because there was no outs. I think if there was one out, I think they might have. But okay. With no outs, you hold them. No outs, second and third. We're golden, right?
Then Soriano comes up. You know, and you can't. I mean, you can't be mad at Soriano for anything, because he basically has put the team where they are right now. But he grounds into a fielder's choice.
Well, it was a hard hit ball. Basically, the way the fielders had, they had the first baseman and the third baseman were playing close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
ball hit to them. Almonte stays at third, right? That's the plan.
Right.
Ball hits a shortstop or second because they were playing farther back. You run because he scores.
Okay.
The balls hit the shortstop, except that the third baseman fielded it.
Oh.
Right? And Almonte, I think that must have confused him because he froze. He was like the deer with the headlights.
Mm-hmm.
He froze. You either have to take off right away or you stay. And he stayed.
Did both.
And then took off, you know? He did them both.
And he was so out. They were, like, waiting. They had a cup of tea before he even got to home.
Yeah, it was horrible. They threw him by 20 feet. So,
and then,
so that left, and Cano didn't move, so now we still have first and second.
Right. So then the lovely Curtis Granderson comes up. He did not have a good hit plate, and he struck out swinging. It's a really beautiful swing when he strikes.
He just missed a base hit.
Right, it went. It like took a right turn. It was crazy. It was going down the line, and then it went. So
yeah, that was. I mean, he just missed it, and that always happens when they just miss a home run or they just miss a hit. They inevitably strike out on the next pitch.
Yep.
No.
So then Nunez comes up.
Now still have him on first and second.
Right.
In the scoring position.
So Cano's at second, just in case anybody forgot. Nunez comes up on the field. I'm always a little bit concerned about Nunez, but at the plate, he can pull it out.
Right.
And
He did.
Singled to left.
A nice single.
A really good shot. And Cano sucks at running.
Well, it was a perfect throw. Cano did everything he's supposed to. He was running hard the whole time.
You think?
Yeah.
He sort of jogs.
I watched it on TV. They showed a replay plenty of times. They're like, he was running hard.
It was the most perfect throw.
It was, you make the guy make a perfect throw.
Yeah, and he did.
It was a perfect throw. It was he threw a strike.
Yeah, and yep, and that was that. And, oh my God, it's the ninth inning. You know, nothing happened. Mo was great.
Right, 1-2-3 inning, right? I think.
Pretty much. And then it was even 1-2-3 strikes are out on the bottom of the ninth when we were up. Grounded out, popped out, struck out, over. Mo Day ruined.
The last batter was J.R. Murphy.
Yes,
rookie,
the catcher.
Who we couldn't hit for.
Because we had nobody to catch.
Because Romine got a concussion. He's inactive. We'd already taken Chris Stewart out. So you had to let the 20-year-old rookie
be the last out of Mo Day game.
So we had the 20-year-old rookie in the eighth inning who stupid base running.
Right.
And the 20-year-old rookie in the ninth inning who, you know, he was just overpowered. He was overmatched. And we lose.
And that is why I'm standing on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right. Well, the reason you're standing on the Brooklyn Bridge is because I came.
Oh, I would be swimming in the East River or on the bottom of it.
Bottom of it, right.
I would float, probably, right? How does that work?
Dead people float, yeah.
Okay. Would I have died on contact?
Yeah. Most likely. People think that when they jump into water, it's like jumping into a pool.
No, at that height, it's like landing
cement.
On cement.
Yeah. You know, I went to the... How old is the Brooklyn Bridge? You know this stuff off the top of your head.
The ribbon cutting was in 1886.
18... Okay. So I'm pretty sure it must have been 1986. I went to the 100th, the centennial celebration of the Brooklyn Bridge.
That would be the 100th, yeah. 1886 plus 100 is 1986.
See? Math. Speaking of math, we're still in this.
Yes. We're still in this.
I don't know how.
This is the situation we're in now. They are four games behind Tampa Bay. No, four
in the wild card you're talking about.
In the wild card. Four games behind Cleveland with six games to go.
Are you using trigonometry?
Let me get my protractor. The only good thing about that, I mean, if there is a good thing about the six games, that three of them are against Tampa Bay.
We're playing Tampa.
Right, so we can make up a lot of ground there. And the last three games are
the worst team in baseball.
Right, like girls softball team from Houston. So we have a chance maybe of catching up on Tampa Bay. Cleveland, I think, is a bigger problem because they have a really easy schedule. I think they play Minnesota and some other lame.
And who plays for Cleveland now?
Swisher.
Former Yankee Nick Swisher. Have you any tabs on how he's been doing?
Who cares? He's a bum. He cried.
He cried. He's sensitive.
He was sensitive because the Bleacher Creatures was yelling at him. Dude, you were like 0-22. Lucky that's all they did.
So, we could have some phenomenal comeback, or we could get completely blown out.
Right. We need to win every game.
Right.
Six games, and then we need help. I mean, besides the three games that we beat Tampa Bay, they've got to lose more games beyond besides that.
Yeah.
And we're like, it's not like... Like, if they had won today and they had done what... The Yankees had done what they were supposed to do against Toronto, then we could have been gone into Toronto, you know, in charge, control of our own destiny. Not like that.
Right.
We have to win every game, and then we need help.
Well, one thing we have going for us is that we're home against Tampa and not in that wretched stadium in Florida.
Right. So that's good for us.
And then we're playing the worst team in baseball. Is that right to say?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
I think they just the other day lost their 100th game of the season.
And this is their... Is this their first year in the American
first
League?
First year in American League.
They have 51 wins to 105 losses.
Yikes. What was the 62 Mets? I think they lost like 120 games.
So in the overall standings, the Houston Astros are 42 games back.
Pettit gets to pitch his final game in Houston, which is where he's from. That's kind of neat for him.
Right. And he's glad as hell he got out of there, right? They've lost 9 in a row, Houston. And watch, they're going to sweep us.
They're going out strong! But, yeah, so the next week's going to be interesting. Like, big games for the Yankees. They're all big games. We're still, mathematically, we're still in it. It should be exciting, even if you're not a Yankee fan. The National League deal...
Yeah, the National League. So Atlanta and the Dodgers have clinched their divisions.
Right. And the Central is really exciting because the Central, you have St. Louis, Cincinnati,
yep.
And Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis has clinched, not the division, but they've clinched a playoff spot.
Yep.
The other two teams, most likely... Looks like they're going to clinch also playoff spots.
They are both 2.5 games back in their...
Right. I'm pretty sure they're going to... Those three teams are going to be in the playoffs. Only one of them is going to win the division, right? And the other two are probably going to end up playing each other in a one-game playoff as wildcard teams.
Okay.
So that could... But as it is right now, 2.5 games with 6 games left, that could be anyone. I mean, Pittsburgh could end up winning division. Or Cincinnati with a good week could get a winning division. So that's, you know, this next week in the National League Central, pretty exciting. I mean, you really don't want to be a wild card team. Used to be, like, I know a couple years ago where the Yankees clinched the playoff spot, so they didn't really try. They didn't try to win a division because they wanted to keep the wild card spot and set up the rotation for the playoffs. You know, right? Teams were doing that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Right. But you can't do that anymore. You don't want that because wild card means you play a one-game playoff.
Right.
And anything can happen in one-game playoff. I mean, we really don't want to be in a one-game playoff.
We didn't talk about the American League. Not, you know, we know that Boston clinched the division, but Oakland has also clinched the division.
Boston, last place last year, first place this year.
Bobby Valentine. And then in the Central, you know, nobody's clinched anything yet. Detroit still has not.
They got Cleveland still following.
So Cleveland is 5 games back, like, overall from them.
But seven games left, so they're pretty close to, Detroit's pretty close to clinching.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it should be an exciting week. I mean, this is why I like the extra wild card spot. It does make the last week or two exciting for a lot of teams. Used to be only one or two teams would be fighting. There's like, you know, a good 5-6 different teams going for these spots, which is kind of cool. You know, good for the fans. The one good thing C-League has done.
And good for the advertisers.
Yeah, they must be loving it, right?
So, well, that's sort of the state of baseball.
That's the state of baseball. One last week, if they do good, we may have another run of Bullpen Betty shows. If they don't do good, we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll still have to talk about what's going on.
We'll definitely be back next week.
And what if they do well?
Then we'll do a whole, you know, we have each round of the playoffs.
I was just making fun of your grammar. since you impressed me so much with math. Alright, well, that's pretty much, like we said, that's the state of baseball.
State of baseball. Before we go out, tell them where they can reach us, where they can follow us this next week as we live and die with every game.
Right, so if I decide to really throw out the desperate times for call for desperate measures, you guys will want to check out.
If you know friends who aren't on Facebook, tell them to join up. It'll be worth it.
I mean, the lawyers have gotten involved with this that might be posted. I'll have to see. I might have to take it down. You know, I do have, like, a real life outside of this. Anyway, I have Jeff Zinn, the guy who does my little poster things that I post every once in a while, has done some strategic artwork on it, though, so I think I'm okay. Anyway, you can reach us and see me on Facebook at facebook.com... What?
And see me.
You can see me and see me and see me on Facebook at facebook.com/bullpenbetty, B-E-T-T-Y, and on Twitter, twitter.com/bullpenbetty. And this, clearly, and every other podcast that we've done is on Podomatic, which is at bullpenbetty.podomatic.com. And if you go to bullpenbetty.com, you can actually get to all of those things right from that landing page.
And of course, we're on iTunes.
Yes, every time we upload onto Podomatic, it triggers the gods of at Apple for iTunes. So, interestingly, I know we're getting into the music portion of the show. I caught today that Brendan Ryan, our latest Yankee, who wears number 35, you know what song he comes out to?
Oh, no. What did he come out with?
Breathe and Stop by Q-Tip.
Oh, really?
Yes.
One of your favorites.
And who do you think, like, recognized that besides me and Brendan Ryan? Probably nobody. It's a great song, so.
Very cool.
I caught that. That gave a little sunshine to the end of the game for me.
Speaking of the end of the game, time for our walk-off song, and there can only be one walk-off song.
It can only be a Metallica song, and it can only be one Metallica song. It can only be Enter Sandman for Mariano Rivera.
So on that note, hit it, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye!